Anyway, happy Valentine's Day. We're so glad that you guys are here. The newlywed game kind of, man, segues right into what we're talking about today. Last week, we kicked off a new series called Foster Your Faith. We talked about fostering opportunities in our lives that God has put into our lives. And today, I want to talk about fostering relationships in our lives and what that looks like for each of us. Now, I know me and my wife failed that newlywed game, but we do know things that really matter. Like, all those things don't matter, you know what I'm saying? But we do know things about one another, and we've got to know one another just, man, through the relationship. We're 16 years, we've known each other, I think, for 22 years, and through that time, through getting to know one another, through doing certain things together, we've gotten to know one another, and we've fostered a relationship. And there was confrontation, and there have been arguments and all this stuff, but one of the things that I've really, really begun to notice, really in the last, probably the last 12 or so years, maybe 12 or 13 years, is that as we've stepped out into the journeys and to the opportunities that God has called us to, as we've begun to minister to other people, whether it be through church, through serving in a specific ministry, or through foster care, or through discipleship, whatever it may be, as we have done those things, we have been drawn closer together, right? And what's really neat about fostering relationships is that as we draw closer to God, we foster that relationship with Him, He brings us closer together with the people around us. So that's what I want to talk about today, how we can foster relationships with one another and get that, just foster growth and nourishment and just strength and encouragement. And even when it gets tough, that we stick it out, because it's when we get past those tough moments that we grow and that we learn and that, man, we begin to understand the other person and we mature in who we become as well. So we're going to talk about fostering our relationships today. Before I dive into the message, I want to pray. So let's pray real quick. God, thank you so much for today. Thank you, man, for a great time of worship. Some laughter and some fun. God, today I pray that through your word, through your spirit, that you would, man, just challenge us and show us the areas and the ways in which we need to begin to foster relationships with you and with others around us. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So here's what I want to start with as just to set this up. The gospel, the Bible, is predicated on relationship. You get that? Like, the whole story of the gospel is about relationship. You go to the very beginning, and there's God, and what's He do? He creates Adam, right, to have a relationship with Adam, and they're there, and he gives them animals, and there's a relationship there as well. But then He says, you know what? There's no one suitable for Adam, so Adam needs another relationship. So I got this heavenly relationship going on, but now Adam needs this earthly relationship as well, and so He creates Eve, and so you have Adam and Eve there, and what's He say to them? He says, be fruitful and multiply. And what God is saying in that moment, He's saying, hey, foster intimate relationships. And you adults know what I'm talking about, okay? Be fruitful and multiply. But in that same moment, what He's saying, hey, I have created you for relationship. Be fruitful and multiply to create more relationships that you can have with your kids and that your kids can have with others. Foster more relationships and create more relationships. And so we have this beautiful relationship set up between God and Adam and Eve, and between Adam and Eve, and then they have sons. But then we get into the brokenness of the relationship, right? Where Adam and Eve, they begin to want more, desire more than what they have. They were lied to, and they sin, and that sin breaks that relationship with God. And then it trickles down to their children. And where these brothers are, you know, supposed to have this brotherly love for one another, and envy gets in the way, and anger gets in the way, and one brother, through sin, kills the other brother, and we have broken relationships. But then what we see from that moment on, because the Bible and the gospel is predicated on relationship, is that from that time on, God was working out His plan to reconcile our relationship with Him. And you see it throughout the New Testament with God in the tabernacle, and man, God being among the people by a pillar of cloud and a pillar of fire, and He would send down His angels at times to help make that relationship. But all of it was leading to Jesus, where God could send Jesus down to reconcile a relationship with us. And really, there's this key thing that God was trying to do, because what's so important about relationships is proximity, right? To be in proximity with one another. And God said, you know what? I'm going to send my son Jesus down to be in proximity with them so that he can have a relationship with them, so that they can have a relationship with me through the Holy Spirit. And as you read through the Gospels, as you read through Jesus' life and his ministry, that's what you see, Jesus fostering relationships with everyone he came into contact with. He was fostering relationship with them, reconciling them back to God. And in that, he was allowing us to be able to then foster and reconcile our relationships with each other. And this is the truth. Jesus, what we know about Jesus is he's all about relationships. He's all about fostering relationships. I mean, you go to and just the interactions that he had, right, with his disciples. And he was there and he was teaching them and he was, you know, doing different things with them and breaking bread with them and fishing with them and living life with them. And, you know, he wanted a relationship so badly with a guy named Zacchaeus. And Zacchaeus was up high in a tree and he was far away. And what did Jesus do? He said, come down. Get in the proximity with me. Invite me to your house. And there was this relationship. There was a religious leader at the time named Nicodemus who, man, was hearing things about Jesus and what he was doing. And he was hearing from afar, and other, you know, voices and things were coming in saying, no, that's not true. But what happened was, is he got into proximity with Jesus, and Jesus began to foster a relationship with him, telling him, hey, you know, in order for you, man, to be born again, you've got to accept what is happening with me and through me. And he ministered to everyone he came in contact with, and he fostered relationship with them. And this is what I fully believe, is that, man, the healthiest, some of the best relationships begin when we are being ministered to. When other people are coming alongside us, maybe seeing us in our grief and our pain, or maybe just coming alongside us to be a part of our joy, but ministering to others, it starts the process of fostering a relationship with them. When we minister to others, it starts this process of beginning to foster this relationship, of creating and encouraging and strengthening the relationships that we have. So my question to you today would be this: who are you ministering to? Who are you ministering to? Who are you fostering relationship with? Because here's the deal. If the gospel is predicated on relationship, God with us, then our relationship with God is meant to make our relationships better. And I can attest to that. Like, my relationship with God makes my relationship with my wife better and my kids better. And my coworkers better, and my neighbors better. My relationship with God makes my relationships better. And the reality is, for each of us, as we talk about ministering to others and how that fosters relationships, you and I, we're called to minister. We're called to foster relationships with all of those people, with our family, at our jobs, in our neighborhoods, right? And with our brothers and sisters in Christ, we're called to minister to one another. And so I asked you, how are you fostering relationships? But I'll kind of follow that up and say, how are you fostering relationships with others through ministry and or ministering to them? Now, let me just quickly note, I think a lot of times when we throw that word ministry out there, we very much put it in a box and we say, well, ministry happens at church. In order for me to do ministry, I guess I have to be on church staff, or I have to be in a leadership position. Let me tell you something. Ministry does not just happen at church. As a matter of fact, the most ministry happens outside of church. Right? We come here to be discipled, to foster relationships so we can go out and minister to people. Every follower of Jesus is called to minister to others. So let me just tell you this. Where God has you right now, where God has you every single day, is where he has called you specifically to do ministry. How are you ministering to others where God has you right now? How are you fostering that relationship? So we're called to do ministry where we're at. But at the same time, God has called you to this church. He's called you to Kairos Church. If you don't come to Kairos Church, maybe Kairos Church isn't your home. Whatever church he called you to, he called you there as well to foster relationship. We are here to foster relationship with one another. Galatians 6:10 says this. It says, "So then, while we as individual believers have the opportunity, let us do good to all people, not only being helpful, but also doing that which promotes their spiritual well-being, and especially be a blessing to those of the household of faith, born again believers." So we're saying, go out and minister to people, but when you're in here, when you're around your brothers and sisters in Christ, man, you really need to dig in. You really need to foster those relationships. You really need to hold each other accountable. Foster those relationships. Because the reality is this: the purpose of the church is to foster relationships. We are here for relationship, number one, with God, but we're also here for relationship with one another. And I think in this day and age, that second half, that relationship with one another, we tend to not put as much priority on. Because we got other things going on, or we're too busy, or we can't get involved. I'm going to come, I'm going to listen, I'm going to try to keep to myself, I'm going to grab my coffee, and I'm going to go. Or maybe we're, with the pandemic going on, there's some fear that's keeping us back from relationship. But we are meant to foster relationship. The purpose of our church, of this church, of any church, is relationship. I don't know what brought you here. I don't know what drew you here. But I know for me, it was always community. It was always this innate desire within me that says, you know what, I don't want to do life alone. I want to surround myself with other people who can grow me, who can strengthen me, who can encourage me, and who can even challenge me in moments when I'm wrong or overstepping my boundaries. And so it's not one or the other, right? We're here. The purpose of the church is relationship with God and with others. It's not one or the other. It's both and. A few weeks ago, we were in a series in 1 John. And in 1 John, it says this, that we can't love God, we can't foster relationship love with God, or foster relationship with God, if we're not also loving and fostering relationship with each other. Hear that? So we can't go and say, I love God, I'm going to foster a relationship with God, but then not do the second part of that where we're fostering relationship with one another. Because what Jesus, the two greatest commandments are what? Love God and love others. It's not one or the other, it's both and. Right? We're meant to love God, and as we love God, and as we create that relationship with God, man, as he pours his spirit into us, it's meant to be poured out to others, to foster a relationship with them, to help them on their journey. 1 John 4:20 says, if anyone says, I love God, yet hates his brother, he is a liar. For the person who does not love his brother he has seen cannot love the God he has not seen. I've known a lot of Christians who are really, really good at fostering the relationship with God, but get that crucial element of fostering relationship with others. Because they've come to know God, and they've been rescued by God, and they have salvation through God, and it's helping them become who they need to be. But in the grand scheme of things, what we're called to do is we're called to get God's love so we can share God's love and help others experience God's love. Again, back to 1 John chapter 3, it says we're called not just a word and speech to say we love God and to sing a few songs. No, we're called to action and truth. We must love with word, not with word and speech, but with action and truth. The purpose of the church is to foster relationship. But in order to do that, you have to actively participate in it. You have to go beyond yourself. You have to step out of your comfort zones. You have to push past your insecurities. You have to push past those what ifs. You have to push past the, well, maybe they won't accept me, or maybe I won't fit in. You got to push past it and understand that God has called you here to be in relationship with him, but he's called you here also because, man, there are people here who, let me just tell you, not only will they be in relationship with you, but they need relationship with you. I can guarantee you there is someone here today who can pour into whatever you're going through, and you can do the same for them. But you have to actively seek that. It can't just be, I'm going to come to church, and I'm going to sit, and I'm going to worship, and I'm going to leave. No, we got to get engaged. We gotta participate, and we gotta foster relationships that God has called us to. And there's many ways, right? So we have Sunday and we have worship, and it's so important. So look, don't get me wrong. Well, coming in here and worshiping and learning, it's amazing, but there's so much more. Where we're chatting and we're having fun in the cafe, and You know, there's serving going on all throughout this building, and kids and protect and worship and presentation, greeting, VIP, cafe, all of it is going on, and all of it, guess what it does? Every single part of what we do, it fosters relationship. Relationship with God, relationship with others. For your students, did you know we have something for them to foster relationship with God and with others? It's called Movement. It's on Wednesday nights, right? And so, you're, give it up for Movement. Your students can come here, and they can worship, and they can hang out, but I'm going to be real honest. They don't want to foster relationship with old people, okay? They don't. And you could be two years older than them, and you're old. So they have their own ministry where they can come, and they can have fun, and they can play, and they can hang out. They can foster relationship with God, with others, and with the leaders that are there, that are, man, giving up their time during the week to invest in them. Movement does that. Maybe you're too old for Movement. And maybe you think yourself too young for this. Young adults, right? We got a young adult ministry now, too. Young adults don't really know where they fit. You know what I'm talking about? Anyway, I'm just kidding. and we all want to be young adults again, don't we? Okay. So we have our young adult ministry. And the same thing is happening. And we're giving you these opportunities. Like, you can't say, well, I don't have an opportunity to foster a relationship. I don't really know it. No, you do. Young adults is there, but you're making excuses on why you're not showing up. And maybe it's something else, or maybe it's the enemy lying to you, trying to keep you in isolation. And that's one of his best traps for us, right? You don't need that. You don't need to go. You don't have time for that, but you need it because we were created for relationship with God and with each other. We have all these things. We have Brotherhood, our men's ministry. We just kicked that back off. We started it last year, and pandemic happened, and now we're back into it. And it's an amazing thing where guys can come together, and guys, we are the worst at this. We think, because of pride, that we don't need no one or nothing, right? We got this. I'm good. I can handle this. Meanwhile, we're drowning in our own sin. And we don't know who to turn to. We don't want to admit it to our wife because then we look like we're weak and we're a failure. We're afraid to show up with the guys because we're afraid someone might actually ask us to share about our feelings. Oh, right? Imagine that. Imagine if another guy prayed for me. What would happen? Oh, you'd be blessed. That's what would happen. And you get to come and be in relationship with other dudes, and you get to play castle squares and cornhole and laugh and make fun of each other. That's what would happen. That's what it's all about. Man, brotherhood's an awesome thing. And so we have these ministries that are going on. We just kicked off our team nights, where if you're serving or you want to serve on a team and you want to get to know about that team, we're doing weekly team nights where we're not just coming in on Sunday, because on Sundays, man, we're in go mode. A lot of us are serving. We're trying to create that relationship, and the relationship is happening. But what we have created with team nights is actually a night for relationship, to foster relationship, to pour into you so you can pour into others. How are you actively participating in these things? And here's the reality in all of it. And this is something that's so key. As we're called to be in relationship with God and to be in relationship with others, one of the key elements of that is serving others. And again, you go back to Jesus' life. What did Jesus say? I did not come to be served, but to serve and to love and to be in relationship and to wash the stinky feet of my disciples. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's how Jesus served. And so serving is a part of fostering relationships. Galatians 5. 13 and 14, it says, for you, my brothers, were called to freedom. Only do not let your freedom become an opportunity for the sinful nature, worldliness, selfishness, but through love, serve and seek the best for one another. For the whole law concerning human relationships is filled in one precept. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That is, you shall have an unselfish concern for others and do things for their benefit. We're called to love others. To minister and to foster relationship with others. So what opportunities? We talked about it last week. What opportunities has God called you to? How is God calling you to foster relationship? Maybe it is serving in some area, and you've been wanting to, but you've been putting it off. It could be at kids. It could be at Movement. It could be in any of our other serve teams. Maybe it's to help come in brotherhood and help lead brotherhood with us. Maybe it's starting a sisterhood. Just throwing that out there. You know what I'm saying? Maybe it's taking the initiative to get together with others in the church to do a prayer night or to do a Bible study. I've been in ministry for so long, and I think all too often people wait for the church to set things up, and meanwhile God's saying, hey, you should set that up. So that's on your heart. If that's something God has called you to, what are you waiting for? He's given you an opportunity to foster a relationship with other people. And if you have this innate desire within you and to get together once a week and pray, I can guarantee you there are a handful of people here that would do the same thing. And through that, you will find and foster a relationship in your lives. Maybe it's, like I said, attending and serving various things. But the reality is this, guys, that fostered relationships, healthy, growing, strengthening, encouraging, fostered relationships, they happen in proximity. They happen when we draw closer to God and we draw closer to one another. And we let down our walls and we let down our pride and we let other people in. And when we begin to do that, then we begin to see these similarities and familiarities that, and they've been there all along. The person sitting 8 chairs over was waiting to be your best friend all along. But you have to actively participate in it. Are you fostering this relational proximity with God? What does that look like for you? Again, it's not just something that happens at church. You want to get our earthly relationships right? You get this one right first. But then at the same time, you've got to be fostering relationships and getting into proximity with others. Proximity fosters relationship. I was reading through this online course the other day about relationships, and here's what it says about proximity. It says, proximity or physical nearness has been found to be a significant factor in the development of relationships. Proximity allows people the opportunity to get to know one another and discover their similarities, all of which can result in a friendship or intimate relationship. Proximity is not just about geographic distance, but functional distance, or the frequency with which we cross paths with others. Here, that's this frequency of being around other people. And it can't happen just once a week. It's got to be something that we're actively looking into and that we're actively seeking, where we're reaching out and we're praying for one another on a daily basis, where we're getting together for coffee, where we're going to team nights, where we're serving in certain ways, where we're getting our kids to movement, and the young adults going to their young adult ministry. The church fosters relationship in proximity. And it happens through adventuring together and journeying together and ministering together. It's true of Jesus and his disciples. I mean, you look at Jesus and you look at how he spent time with them. You know, he had his 3, Peter, James, John, and he really, really spoke into their lives. But then he had his 12, and he challenged them, and he encouraged them, and he showed them amazing things, but they spent time together. And then there were more disciples from there. And then, you know, just there was this, you go and you read all about Jesus, and what you see him doing the most is spending time with God. Praying with God and talking with God and in close proximity with God, and he knew God's word. And what we know when we read the Gospels, we learn and what we know about Jesus is that he had the greatest relationship with God, and he had some of the greatest relationships with other people around him. And here's what I've begun to experience, I've come to experience in my life over the last, you know, 15 years as I've gotten into, man, getting close to God and ministering to others. I've really fostered some great relationships. I think about my 2 boys, Varney and Josh. And these dudes that have been with me for going on, I think, like 8 years. I don't know how long it's been. It's felt long. But it's been a long time. And man, we've been through a lot. And we've gone through a lot. And we've challenged each other. But one of the things that was key to it all was proximity. Not isolating, not pulling away. Not letting the others pull away. But proximity. I think about some new friendships that I've created over the years of Kairos. A guy named Ted Masson, who my first time meeting him was in a Chick-fil-A that we had an event going on, and I spent a few seconds with him. About, you know, 6 months later, they showed up to Kairos Church, and he started getting plugged in various things and in media and presentation. Like, that was just how God wired him, and God called him to do those things. And through that, we began to have this proximity, and from there, we've grown and strengthened our relationship, and it's been awesome. And guys that I've met, like Chris Hanna and Will Rivera and Pete Torres, these are guys that I've been in close proximity with. They come to Brotherhood, and we pray together, and we share our burdens. And yeah, we have fun, and we make fun of each other, and we laugh a lot, but at the same time, man, we're really challenging each other to strengthen our relationship with one another, but also to strengthen our each other's relationship with God. Because when we help each other strengthen our relationship with God, our relationships will be better. And that's what it's all about. Relational proximity and those opportunities that come along with them. And it's long term, right? I told you, it's sticking it out. It's consistency. It's going through the tough stuff together and growing from that. So how are your relationships? How are you fostering them? How are your relationships at home? How are your relationships outside of at home? Do you, this is a good, funny question, do you relationship well? I mean, if not, maybe that's something you need to work on today. Or maybe the first stop for you is that, and I'm not doing this well, and I need help figuring this out. And so I'm gonna pray to God about this. I'm gonna talk to God about this. I'm gonna ask God to help me get over whatever is keeping me from relationship. And then I'm gonna also reach out to someone else and let them know that I'm not doing well relationally, and I need help. And just in that, you will begin to foster relationship both with God and with others. The gospel is predicated on relationship. And here's what's true, guys, for all of our relationships. In order for us to make sure that we have great, healthy relationships here on earth, we have got to make sure that our relationship with God is in order. And maybe there's a sin in your life that's keeping you from that. Maybe there are other things going on, deadlines at work, things you have to do. Maybe you're in school still, and you have all these other things that are becoming a priority in your life, and God is somewhere in the distance saying, man, you need relationship with me so bad. Today, I would challenge you to figure out what that is so that you can begin to foster your relationship with him, so that you can begin to foster relationships with others. Would you guys pray with me? God, we know that relationships are so key to who we are and who we are becoming in you. God, we know that the relationship that is most important is the one that we have with you. And God, before we want to are able to get our relationships right here on earth, before we begin to foster relationships here on earth, we got to make sure that our relationship is right with you. Right now, God, we come to you, laying our sin and our mistakes and our failures at your feet, understanding and knowing that it's those things that keep us from that relationship with you. God, but we also know that it's through your son, Jesus, that we are forgiven, right? Our slate's wiped clean, and so we don't have to live in regret and shame or in that. God, we can just give that to you and then begin to foster that relationship with you. If you're here today and that's something you've never done, you've never surrendered your life or surrendered your sin or asked God for forgiveness, man, I would encourage you to do that today. If you have relationships in your life that are struggling, or you would say you have relationships that are non-existent, man, get it right with God today. Let that be the relationship that you focus on the most. And as you focus on loving God and him, his love flowing through you, man, it'll just naturally happen that your relationships here will begin to grow, will begin to thrive, and you will foster great relationships with those around you. God, I lift up everybody here today, those who are watching online. God, I'm praying for the relationships, whether it's with a parent or a daughter or a son. Maybe it's a coworker or a boss. Maybe it's someone at church who we had a disagreement with, but we're so desperate to fix it. God, maybe we are just here and we're eager and desperate for relationship. God, I pray that as the opportunities come for relationship to happen, that we would step into them. Thank you for your son and for sending him to reconcile our relationship with you, the greatest relationship any of us could ever have. It's in his precious name that I pray. Amen. Amen.